Has Christmas become too materialistic, and what can Christians in America in particular do about it, at least for themselves and their families? Well, there's a creative approach that we'll be talking with right now with a man named Danny Yohannan. His father, K.P. Yohannan, founded something called Gospel for Asia, and the website for their particular campaign that we're going to talk about related to Christmas is called ChristmasGoat.com. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Danny, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege.
Sure. Now, I understand that there is, at Gospel for America, you're having a Christmas, Forgotten Christmas campaign. What is it, and how is it being used?
Yeah, you know, Gospel for Asia, we have this Christmas campaign that we've had for many years, and it's one of these opportunities during the Christmas season to really experience helping people in great need around the world who otherwise would not be able to know what Christmas is all about. And by doing this, what we do is we help families and individuals who are impoverished with life-changing gifts like buffaloes and chickens and sewing machines and different items that really help these individuals and families to stand up on their own two feet. Life-changing gifts that sometimes they can help start a micro business, a small farm that brings food on the table, but also gives them the respect and dignity that, you know, people long for. And, you know, on our side, it's one of those opportunities where rather than giving a tie to someone that they're not going to wear or something that's just going to end up on the shelf, we can actually bring Christ love in a tangible, practical way that makes a difference in their life, but also in our life, because we get to experience the very heart of God in the Christmas season.
Can I ask a dumb question? Suppose somebody gave for this cause, okay? So let's say they gave a goat, or they gave, you know, a chicken, or they gave a water buffalo, or whatever. At this end, do they receive anything, a certificate, a small little, I forget what those things are called, but, you know, those little plastic trophies sometimes can be made of them, see-through, transparent trophies or whatever, something like that, that says, you know, you gave a water buffalo and saved, you know, many lives or whatever. I don't know. You know, in other words, do they get something, some sort of token at this end, signifying what they've done at the other end?
You know, when people give towards the Critter campaign, either, you know, chickens, goats or buffaloes or Jesus wells and some of these things, a lot of times it's the larger items like Jesus wells, that people are able to receive some kind of token, some kind of memento that lets them know that the impact that they're making is making a huge difference in people's lives. Some of these smaller items like chickens and goats and buffaloes, it is the impact itself in the communication from the ministry to them that lets them know how these gifts have made a difference in someone's life. I think, you know, what is most impactful on my family with my kids is during this Christmas season, what I do is, you know, we usually take the kids and help them go on the computer and look through the Critter campaign and let them pick out some of these animals and to be part of the experience of making a difference in someone else's life. And so I think the greatest impact and the greatest memento, in a sense, is being able to realize that not only am I able to experience picking out some of these things, but to learn and grow in what it means to engage in the very heart of Christ along with my family. And, you know, I know a lot of grandparents will do the same thing with their grandchildren and make it a real living experience, learning about these animals, learning about the people that the gifts are going to, and watching the videos and learning more about how God is using our prayers and our efforts to make a difference.
Do you think that in some cases these kinds of gifts could be like literally the difference between life and death? In other words, for the recipient?
Absolutely. You know, I can give you an example. There was a lady who was in a very impoverished situation where she was barely getting by with her family, and she received a gift of a sewing machine. And, you know, these sewing machines are like the old-timey sewing machines, foot-pedaled. In a lot of these places, there's no electricity. But, you know, either they're the old, you know, bulletproof, you know, Singer sewing machines that just last forever. and she received one of these sewing machines, and she started tailoring in her village. She made enough money to hire five other ladies, and then she was able to use some of those resources to open a barbershop for her husband next door. And so you can see one sewing machine impacted six families just by one gift. In another place, there was a grandmother who was struggling to take care of her granddaughter, and she was trying to figure out what to do. And one of the reasons was that both of the parents had passed away, and the grandmother barely had enough means to take care of the grandchild. And one of the things that ministered and helped her the most was that we had put a clean water project, a Jesus well, in her village. And that meant that her and her granddaughter didn't have to walk miles away to go fetch water. Instead, they could just go right down the street and fetch water and bring it back home. And most people don't realize putting a clean water project in the middle of the village means that especially the women and the girls don't have to travel so far away, and that enables the girls to go to school and get an education, and you're actually making a permanent difference in someone's life. And so many times we see that people's lives are impacted greatly by these simple life-changing gifts. You know, I've there's so many reports of people that have received a water buffalo, not you know, a buffalo like a North American bison, but a water buffalo, and you can use the buffalo for milk, and you can use the buffalo dung for fire fuel for cooking. But a buffalo is like a tractor that they can use for plowing and doing work. And so many times you see these families, they'll receive a buffalo or a pair of chickens or some item, and they literally start weeping and crying. And they're saying, no one's loved us like this. Why are you doing this? And often the response will be very simple. We love you, and Christ loves you too, and we want you to know what Christmas is all about. You know, I remember traveling with my father one time in a very rural area on Christmas Day, and I was small, and my father stopped the vehicle when he saw a farmer plowing his field with his, I think it was his oxen and, you know, the wood plows. And he asked the gentleman, he said, why are you working on Christmas? And the man responded and said, what's a Christmas? The man didn't even know what Christmas was and gave us an opportunity to share what Christmas was and what Christ had done. And that is the reality of so many millions of people that are still waiting to hear about Christ's love for the very first time.
Americans obviously spend a lot on Christmas, I mean, for ourselves. Do you have any statistics on that or anything?
You know, I think it's close to like $1 trillion a year that we spend on Christmas and we spend on different things. And, you know, I think the most impactful thing to recognize is not to be ashamed of the blessings that God has given to us, or that we are born in this amazing country, or we live in this country, but to realize that, you know, too much is given, much is required, and God's blessings is not just for us to keep to ourselves, but to use those resources and those giftings to bless those in greater need. We find that, you know, even in Scripture, Jesus said, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. And, you know, when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And those around said, when did this happen? He said, you know, you did this for those in need, and that was for me. And I think, you know, what people need to recognize is, you know, maybe it's as simple as, you know, not buying the 15-gallon cup of coffee each day, but maybe buying the 5-gallon cup of coffee. You know, that can make a huge difference. Maybe it's just waiting till the movie comes out in the dollar theater, or maybe, you know, one time less to go out to eat in the month. Those simple decisions and asking God to help us with wisdom can actually make a difference in someone else's life. You know, I paraphrase what Mother Teresa said to the effect of something like this. You know, if we can't feed the 100, at least feed the one. You know, very often the numbers are so astronomical and the need is so great that we basically shrink back from even trying. And yet if we can make the difference in one person's life, it was worth it. And that would be my encouragement for people this season.
I understand that the poverty line for families in Asia is actually $1.90 a day, which is less than the cost of an eggnog latte at Starbucks.
Yeah, I think that is an incredible dynamic that most people around the world, especially, you know, when you talk about daily laborers, they make so little, and that's why so many times, you know, parents are just trying to provide food for the table for their kids. There's a story, true story. It happened in one of the places we worked in. There was a mother who was literally at the end of her rope trying to figure out how to keep her kids alive, and she went to the market to actually sell her children, not because she hates them, but they were starving to death, and she would rather sell them to a family that could take care of them than to watch her kids die in front of her. And, you know, and this mother doesn't hate her children, loves her children. And, you know, I remember one time looking out the window.
By the way, what countries are you talking about? Mostly India?
It's Southeast Asia. Many of these impoverished places. It could be Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, all these places.
Oh, okay.
Where we serve in. And it's not that the governments are not trying or people are not helping. It's just the need is so great that all of us have to pull together. It's one of those things, whether, you know, it is right across the street where we're reaching out to our neighbors, like Christ said, or it's across the world. The call is the same for all of us. You know, and I think back to the time I looked outside the window of one of our offices, and there I saw on the street a family sitting on top of a pile of bricks with small hammers, breaking these bricks to fill potholes, and there was a 3-year-old little kid, you know, sitting with them breaking bricks. And the reality is, if this 3-year-old little kid doesn't work along with the family, they can't make enough money to feed the family. And, you know, that is why the heart of gospel for Asia is to bring the love of Christ practically to people. We want people to know that Christ loves them. And through these Christmas gifts, you know, we can really make a difference in people's lives. Usually, you know, like last year, it's over 200,000 people were impacted by these gifts, and hundreds of thousands of people impacted every single year through Gospel for Asia's efforts in bringing hope and change and healing to people's lives. You know, I would encourage people not to let this be just an awareness campaign, but an opportunity for our hearts to engage with the very heart of God and the things that break His heart. As we read in Scripture, when Christ saw the crowds, He was moved with compassion. That should be our prayer for the season. God, would You put compassion in my heart so that my heart is moved to prayer and to do something to make a difference.
You've used the phrase a Jesus well a couple of times. What's a Jesus well?
You know, a Jesus well is you have to think about like the old-timey movies or TV shows like Bonanza, you know, The Rifleman, The Lone Ranger, where they had those old pump wells with the, you know, you pump the handle up and down and you get the water out, the bore wells. Those are the Jesus wells that we put in different villages. And, you know, what most people don't realize is that Gospel for Asia, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, provides more clean water projects like wells than anyone else in the entire world. We're just so busy doing it, we don't talk much about it. But these wells, you know, hundreds of feet deep, we drill them using the local guys who know how to do this, which keeps the cost down. We stimulate the economy in that way. But providing clean water in a village where there is no clean water impacts hundreds and thousands of people's lives. The mechanics are very simple. It's kind of what you still see on ranches and farms, even in our country now, with windmills. The windmills actually use the same mechanics, and those things last forever. They go on and on and on, and they pump water for the cattle. And so, you know, very often what happens is in these particular villages, in these particular areas, if you are born into a certain category in society, you are considered to be low or unclean, and so therefore you are not allowed to take water from the common well because you would, in a sense, contaminate that well.
We have 10 seconds left, yeah.
And so these people and everyone else can have free access to this water, and it's in the name of Christ.
ChristmasGoat.com for more information on this Forgotten Christmas campaign. Danny Yohannan, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Great. Bye-bye now.